You may be seated. In the name of the one true God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the God of the heavenly host, Yahweh Elohim Zebaoth. Amen. As some of you know, I know not all of you, but some of you know, I am a pastor's kid. My father is a proud graduate of this institution, 1956. He would say that's a very good year. And so, therefore, among other things, I went to church every Sunday. Now, this is the 60s and the 70s, and in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, that meant the Lutheran hymnal. We didn't even know to call it TLH, it was just the hymnal. Now, some of you might be thinking, oh, that's 5 and 15. No. My father learned some things when he was at the seminary, some very definite things. Maybe no one taught him this, but he learned them here. Some of them had to do with the liturgy. One of them is, page 5 is not a real service. I mean, it says, order of morning service without Holy Communion. What kind of service is that? And so we didn't use that. On Sundays when there was no communion, we used page 32, the order of matins. Now, some of you, I know, you're like, yeah, we did too. Among other things, what did this mean? It meant that virtually every Sunday, I would say, we would say, holy, 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 Lord God of Sabaoth. We would, right? With angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, laud and magnify God's glorious name, evermore praising him and saying, holy, holy, holy. Cherubim and seraphim continually do cry, holy, 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 Lord God of Sabaoth. Sunday after Sunday, I would sing those words. And my experience was proof, I know you don't need any, but it was proof that there is such a thing as vain liturgical repetition. Sabaoth, what did that mean? I had no idea. I didn't actually even care. No one actually asked me what did that mean. I don't even know exactly what I would have answered. I probably would have said Sabbath, but who knows? Anyway, eventually I did learn that it's not a reference to the Sabbath, but rather to the host of heaven, to the ranks and ranks upon angels. But that took a while. Today we set aside time to remember the angels. Today we are observing St. Michael and all angels. On this day we remember and rejoice in those invisible, mysterious creatures of God who serve him day and night, and also the grace, love, and mercy of their God and ours, the God and Father of Jesus Christ. Now first, a little bit about St. Michael. Michael was an angel. He's not a saint in the usual sense of saint, like my sainted mother or the communion of saints. But he's called saint because he is in that company of heaven, around the throne of God. Michael is an angel, and more precisely, according to the Epistle of Jude, an archangel, a chief angel. So like our reading from Daniel tells us, he is a prince. He is a prince who has charge over God's people, Israel. But as an archangel, he also has charge over other angels, as we read from the Revelation of John, the 12th chapter. Now, war rose in heaven, Michael and his angels fighting against the dragon. And the dragon and his angels fought back, but he was defeated, and there was no longer any place for them in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent who was called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before our God. and they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. For they love not their lives even unto death. Therefore, rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. But woe to you, O earth and sea, for the devil has come down to you in great wrath, because he knows that his time is short. The word of the Lord. That's Saint Michael. About all angels, well, that's something else. If you're talking about all angels, you're talking about the cherubim and the seraphim. The cherubim who are there around the throne of God with their wings and their eyes in mighty power. They're the living creatures. And the seraphim who, according to the vision of Isaiah, are flying above the throne saying, "Holy, holy, holy," in a voice so mighty and powerful that it shakes the doorposts. We're talking about all angels, including the mighty ones who do his word and do God's will. The mighty ones, the ones sent after David counted his mighty men to kill Israelites, 70,000 of them. We're talking about mighty ones, the ones sent in the days of King Hezekiah, who killed 185,000 Assyrians. When we talk about all angels, we're talking about messengers. The angel who appeared to Joseph and told him to give the name of the child, give Jesus as the name of that child, for he would save his people from their sins. Who told Mary, his mother, that he would sit on the throne of his father David, and his kingdom would have no end. The messenger who appeared to the women at the tomb, he's not here. He has risen. The messenger at the ascension, when the apostles are looking into the heavens, wondering what happened to the kingdom of God, and assuring them that he would come back the same way they had seen him go. That's all angels. Now, that's a lot to talk about, and in our time today, let's focus on angels and the kingdom of God. This is suggested by our readings. This is suggested by what is promised through the prophet Daniel. And this is what is realized in our reading from Revelation. In the Nicene Creed, we confess that God is the maker of all things visible and invisible. Now, as the saying goes, out of sight, out of mind. And angels are, for the most part, invisible, and then, for the most part, out of mind. But they aren't out of action. Michael is the prince of Israel, the one sent to guard Israel. And in the days when the words were fulfilled and the kingdom of God would come to pass, of course, yes, God sent forth his son. Yes, came the Christ in the presence and power of the Holy Spirit, who cast out demons and made the unclean clean, and then sent out 72. To do the same kinds of things, who came back to Jesus and reported, "Even the demons submit it in your name." But when they reported, Jesus said, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from the heavens." And at the same time, in the unseen realms, in the realms of things invisible, the kingdom of God was advancing. Michael and his angels fought the dragon and his angels, and he was cast down. Now, you know this, but it probably doesn't register very often, that for a long time, all the angels could present themselves to the Lord. That's what we learn from, for instance, the book of Job. The angels come to present themselves before God, and who should show up one day but, yes, Satan. God greets him. "Where have you been?" "Oh, I've been wandering the earth back and forth. Did you happen to see my servant Job? No one like him." Well, Satan takes the bait, as it were. He just fears you because you blessed him. He wouldn't fear you if he had nothing. "Oh yeah, you want to bet? Game on." Well, I bring that up not to talk about Job, but for a long time, all the angels, the good and the bad, the faithful and the wicked, could appear before God. But eventually, God had enough of trials and temptations, of trespasses, of sin, of death, of the devil. And on earth comes his Son. On earth comes Christ. And in the heavens too, there is a fight. And so while on earth, Christ and his disciples are casting out demons, in the heavens, in the realms unseen, God has his angels casting down the devil. Now that work, though, isn't done. How does our reading from Revelation go? Woe to you, O earth and sea, for the devil has come down to you in great wrath because he knows that his time is short. So while the angels, faithful and unfaithful, good and bad, are unseen, what they have to do isn't. And we know it, we see it, we feel it. Although the kingdom of God has come in Jesus Christ, it has not been fully realized. And that means there's still trial and temptation and trespasses. There's still death and dying. There is still illness and injury. There is still confusion and conflict. There's still poverty and privation. But I am here, sent by the God of the angels and of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm here to tell you, don't lose heart. What God started in Jesus Christ, what God started with Michael and his angels casting out Satan and his demons into out of the heavens, what God started, he will finish. That is the promise. And you don't have to just take my word for it, although you should, but you can also take Christ's body and Christ's blood as into your mouths as signs that one day you will, in plain sight, be with the angels and archangels and all the company of heaven. You will join with the cherubim and seraphim and cry out, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God of Sabaoth." You will be there with God and his Son, the Lamb who was slain, at that marriage feast. That will come to pass. And even now then, pray, praise, give thanks. Luther taught us to pray like that, right, in his morning prayer. Let your holy angel be with us, that the evil foe may have no power over us. Give thanks. Give thanks that God has had grace and mercy, that he has shown love in his Son, shown love by the presence of his Spirit, shown love by angels who look at their Father in heaven and watch over you. And praise God. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, you creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And believe his promise. And one day your faith will be vindicated. One day your trust will be justified. One day your hope will be realized. And it will be Michael and all angels and you, all people of God, with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And until that day, may God keep you. Amen. If you're able, please stand for the hymn.